in the paper, and I applied for it, and I got it. God assigned you. And so I wanted us to be able to, and this is the first in a what will be a series of conversations. I wanted us to look at what it's like to be in all sorts of different workplaces. And so, for the first, I am extraordinarily grateful to Paula and to Paige, who agreed to take part in the first of these interviews where we look at somebody's particular workspace and the challenges that they face, why they, how they got there, but and so that we might be challenged, and maybe your work, it may be your place of work next, but who knows. But if Paige and Paula will come up here, we're going to have a conversation about what it's like to be a nurse and follow Jesus. And I'm particularly grateful to Paige because you will see that she's worn her uniform. And that's because she was working all night. So we're very grateful to her for... So yes, that's fine. So I don't mind who takes this question first, but my first question to you is how did you get to become a nurse? Was it something you dreamt of as you were... when you were a teenager, or is it something that you fell upon something somewhat differently than that? You may choose who answers it first, unless you want me to choose for you.
You want me to go first? Okay. So am I on? Yes. So I'm an older person. I know I'm older than Paige, and I was born in 1958 and grew up in the 60s and into the 70s in a working class neighborhood outside of Boston. And the roles for women back then were kind of in my mind and in my parents and my community were teacher, nurse, or kind of secretary. And so I didn't really envision myself as having a ton of options as a woman growing up where I grew up. My thoughts were, my parents worked in lower level office jobs and I'd seen what that was. And my thoughts were I really wanted to get a college education, which my parents had not been able to do. I wanted to be able to support myself and live independently because we had some struggles in my home. My dad had a nervous breakdown when I was 6 and was hospitalized for a year. And my mom had struggles with alcoholism. And so part of my plan was I want to get something that I can do a job as and work and be independent. And I wanted to do something to help people. And so I worked really hard in high school, got a scholarship to go to college, went to the school that was going to give me the most financial package because that's what I needed, and nursing was one of its strongest programs. And I had started, at my last year of high school, I had started studying Spanish instead of French, and I really loved Spanish, but I didn't think I could support myself and make a career of it. So I ended up double majoring in nursing and Spanish, which I really see as God's calling for my life. Looking back, I didn't know it then, but it's really gone well together, and I've really been blessed with an amazing career having that as a double major, and so I can look back and say that God was there from the beginning.
And you're now actually retired, aren't you?
I just retired May 21st. I tried to get out of this saying, but I'm retired, but here I am, so...
Now you can see that Paige isn't retired, so how about you?
So I didn't really have a specific plan. I went to college when I was 17. I skipped a grade in elementary school, so I graduated from high school at 17. I went straight to college, and I had a major that didn't really, it was human and community development, which didn't really lend itself to any specific job, and I graduated in 1991. When the first George Bush was a president, and the economy wasn't great. It was difficult to get a job, and I had kind of a, I got a job, it didn't pay very well, it didn't have benefits, and my boyfriend, as I like to say, former boyfriend, current husband, he doesn't really like that title, but and I were just kind of, you know, we got engaged and we were just trying to figure out, like, are we gonna find a way to live and support ourselves? And we decided together that nursing was a good option. It was obviously pretty recession-proof because people, you know, health is something that is always, you know, there. And I do, you know, we've talked about it over the years that we do see God's hand on it. And I always, we always wanted to have a family. We always wanted to be able to kind of tag team our family and be able to do that. And when I look back, like, what did I want to be? I kind of wanted to be famous, be, you know, Miss America, all these different things.
Well, and, you are famous here, Paige.
In my own mind, I'm famous. But I do think that, you know, I always was a caretaker in my family. I always was a babysitter. I always did those kinds of things. And I was feel very fortunate that I... I've now been a nurse in January. It will be 25 years. So, yeah. So I feel like it worked out really well for me. And
well, I think what you both said is very encouraging because you know neither of you have said, well, I saw the writing on the wall, or you know, I fell on the floor at a church and knew I was going to be a nurse, because you know, for so many people, that's not what happens, and but nevertheless, you both have a great sense of that God has used you and called you into the places that you've been. So, did you have expectations of what being a nurse was going to be like? Were they fulfilled, or was it very different?
I think that nursing school in general was very difficult and very. It was a discouraging process, I would say, going through nursing school, and it wasn't something that was an encouraging situation. They didn't make it seem like it would be fun or easy. My first nursing job was, frankly, awful. I worked at an inpatient drug rehab. I was held hostage in that situation. It was very difficult. Like, I still talk about it to my kids sometimes about how... I had people discharged from Folsom Prison to me. I met some Hells Angels there who talked to me about what it meant to be a Hells Angel that I didn't really know. You could talk
and
to
perhaps
me about
you
that
wish
privately
you didn't
if you'd
know.
Like to. No, I mean, you know, lessons learned. But anyway, it was a difficult situation. But what I did learn, and I have learned, is, you know, there's lots of things you can do as a nurse, and you don't have to, like, start from scratch. You can, and I don't think that that's necessarily true for most jobs. Like, you can just apply for a different job, take a little bit of training, and do a whole different thing. And I do encourage a lot of people. I've talked at different career days in high schools and talked to people and said, I do think nursing is a really good career for people. I think it's a very viable career. I do encourage people to check it out. I don't necessarily think nursing school is the place where you'll get that encouragement, but I've enjoyed being a nurse. I still enjoy my job, not necessarily on a day-by-day basis, but I still think it's a good job.
Now, Paula, you ended up in a sort of different sort of nursing, didn't you? So was that where you intended to go, or did that happen?
I did the usual thing where I got out of nursing school and I went and worked on a medical surgical floor for a year in Boston, and you asked if it met our expectations, and honestly, it took me about a year to think, hey, I'm a registered nurse, because it hadn't been something I fantasized about as a child. I kind of was adjusting, and it was really hard. Here, you're 22 years old, you're dealing with people who are very sick. It was a woman's profession still in 1980. I knew no male nurses like I do today, and they didn't have safety ratios for patients, so I was on a 44-bed floor. Sometimes there'd be four RNs, and I'd have 11 patients who were post-op, and it was really hard. And my starting salary, I don't know what yours was $6.85 an hour. And that wasn't a high salary, because some of my friends who were grocery clerks or waitressing, they were making about, you know, the same what I was, and I was really having a lot of stress being a nurse.
Right.
And then what happened was I ended up, because of my own personal choices and dynamics in my family, I felt like I wanted to take a break, go live somewhere else, move to a state where there are more Spanish-speaking patients, and I had a relative here in California, in San Francisco, so I said, okay, I'm going to go away for 6 months to a year, in 1981, and came to San Francisco and got a job at UC Medical Center, San Francisco. And I found that to be a very professional place. It was an institute of, you know, higher education, and my whole view of myself as a nurse really started changing, and I really started embracing being a nurse and seeing people that had gone on to get their master's degree and become nurse practitioners or clinical nurse specialists, and that was when I really started embracing my career. So I just retired May. Sorry, I'm not doing so good with this. And so I've been a nurse for 39 years, and I've really seen God's plan in it, like you have. I was able to work, always work. I was never unemployed. I could switch jobs if I got bored with something and go in a different direction. I have a husband who's a lovely man, but he is a carpenter, and he was often unemployed throughout our years of marriage, and I was able to be the steady. And nursing here, I went from $6.85 to $11 an hour when I moved here, and it has become a much more living wage position right. over the years, and that was really helpful to us. I could always work part-time. I made enough to do that and stay home with my children. I got to use my Spanish here, which I loved. And my patients, kind of like my children, as I think about them, they've made me a better person. I always tell my children my best job was being your mom. But nursing was also a very good job, because I became, through children and through nursing, I became more caring, more compassionate, less self-centered, less judgmental, because you're walking alongside people that are going through really hard life challenges, and they let you into that, and that just makes you, made me at least, a much better human being, and so I'm very grateful for that. And I did go back to school after 14 years of a registered nurse to UCSF and became a nurse practitioner.
So I want to ask you both a rather more perhaps philosophical question. And bring you up to date that the both of you, or you very recently, and you still, Paige, every day go to work, and you go to work, because I don't know what at what stage in the proceedings you both became followers of Jesus, but you both are. So what is it, what's a day in the life like, but what is it like to be, what are the challenges that you face as a follower of Jesus in the places that you work, or you worked?
Do you want me to go, or
go first? Well, I'll go. Okay. So I work, currently I work at Kaiser San Francisco, and I work at a high-risk OB unit. I used to, and sometimes still, I consider myself a labor and delivery nurse, but right now I'm not working in labor and delivery, but I have until very recently worked labor and delivery. But so I work with all kinds of people, and so people come in who are... well, and I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, so I've been a follower of Jesus. But, you know, I have people who come in who are high, who are, you know, not married, who are in all kinds of relationships. And I, as I've gotten older, I think a lot of people, or what I hear is that people get more conservative as they get older. But what I've found, maybe this is what you think too, is that I've gotten a lot more compassionate the more I've met people, because I just have so much compassion for people. I've found that I just have to love people where they're at. That has been a lesson to me, because I really need that in my life. I really need that in my life. And God has done that for me. He's just loved me where I'm at. And I would hate to be that block for people. I would hate for somebody to know that I was a Christian and to have that memory and to think, you know, Paige is a Christian and she just was that judgmental block, you know. So I just try to be just loving towards people. And not that I'm saying, you know, your behavior is okay or all this is fine and, you know, oh, it's fine, peachy keen, but I just try to love people where they're at, and I figure God will work it out. And I just want to be just a loving presence for them, and especially when they're in a vulnerable situation and they're sick or they're, you know, exposing themselves in any way. I just want to be a loving presence for them, and that maybe it can be that tiny mustard seed that they can look back and think that it's a tiny seed of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been hurting before, and I can recall people offering that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that that's really important. And there's a lot, I think, especially right now, Christianity can be really equivalent to a frowning face or a negative image. And I don't want that to be my message. And that's what I've...
Are you able in that context? Because when you behave like that, of course, you are reflecting the character of Jesus. Do you get opportunities to actually indicate that that's what you're doing?
Yeah, I do, more than you know. I do ask people or offer to people, people who their babies are very sick or who are going into premature labor or who are... sometimes dying themselves or who are in a very fragile place, I'll say, like I have a friend who is a believer, and she said that what she'll say is, you know, do you have any spiritual background? Do you want me to pray for you?
Right.
And that almost always people will say, please pray for me. And I will. And I'll... you know, if they say no, I'm not going to say like, you know, well, you too bad, I'm doing it, you know, but I mean, obviously I kind of will quietly, but I mean, I, you know, but I,
tough.
You know, yeah, like, you know, you're getting it kind of thing, but I, you know, and I don't want to say anything that will be hurtful to anybody, but I will. And I'll say like, you know, we're going to do our best for you. I'm going to, you know, I'd like to pray for you. And I want to offer people hope.
Because that's a very real way in which you can, all that you've said you wanted to reflect, you can reflect, and it can be seen as part of reflecting Christ.
Right. And I think all we can do is start from where we're at, you know, and I think that that's such an important thing. And I know that, you know, Jesus is not about shame. He's not about your past. He's about moving forward. And, you know, there's so many people in the Bible that have done terrible, terrible things, and that he has been able to use them for good.
Yeah.
And so nobody needs to feel ashamed of their past. They can leave their past behind and move forward. And so I've been able to have wonderful, wonderful conversations with people about how, you know, we can all move forward and we can all be a reflection of God's glory. And so I don't need to talk about, you know, oh, this person and that person. I can talk about how, you know, I feel like, you know, we can all be a reflection of God's glory. And so I think that's a really good thing. But
yeah.
I really admire so many of my patients, and I can tell them that too. Like, I just have so much respect for you. I have so much admiration for you. And I think, you know, so many, San Francisco is such an amazing place. We have people that come from all over the world, and I've been able to learn like snippets of all different languages and try to talk to people. It's really neat to be part of people's lives.
Same question for you, Paula.
Yeah, pretty much the same answer in a lot of ways. I worked at City College the last 16 to 17 years in their student health services, and I really felt like I had landed in my area where I was going to want to work the rest of my career. I love young adults and adolescents, and we had people who are immigrants trying to make a better life for themselves by going to a community college and getting a career. And I met people also from all over the world, young single parents trying to make a better life, first generation like I was, college students. And I just loved walking alongside my patients and hearing their stories and trying to love on them, like basically what Paige is saying. And it was just a really lovely place to work. I got to teach some on Saturdays for a couple years, and I loved working with students and doing that. That kind of led into mentoring students coming through the clinic who wanted to be in health-related careers, who were studying those at City College. And all those things really were my calling and my joy. Now, I ended up having to be, for 9 years, out of the... the 16 years, the department chair, and that was much more of a challenge, even though I also made sure I had about 20 hours of patient care a week. I had to do a lot of administrative stuff, and some of that was working with difficult, what I consider difficult employees, and that did not feel like my calling or my joy as much. And there were times I would really say to God, am I just stay where I'm planted, or are you calling me somewhere else? But I never felt released to not serve the students, and there was enough of the good stuff and my calling to stay there. What happened this year was that my husband, who's not a believer, as some of you know, I always feel that God can speak to me through him, even though he's not realizing it. And he'd always been somebody who said, who really liked that I was bringing more of an income in. And this year he said, Paula, I want you to retire. And I thought, okay, God, this is it. And fortunately, where I work, they gave an incentive to retire. So that was a real blessing that God provided that extra incentive. And my children also, who I know love me, said, I think it's time, Mom. And so I've entered a new phase. But I really value the people and their lives and their sharing. And it's been an honor to have the patients and the students in my life that I've been able to serve. I think I'm much more of a servant person than a leader person. But God sometimes calls you to do both, and if it's needed, you step up and do it, is what I learned.
So one last question. As you look at the jobs that you've done, mm-hmm. and you look forward into the future, what do you think are the challenges that people who want to follow Jesus and be a nurse in the contexts that you've both been in, what do you think are the particular challenges that they're going to face? And therefore, how should we, as in your case, your church families, be mm-hmm. praying for you and praying for nurses?
Did I go?
I would just continue to pray for the individual people. I know that whenever I fill out my card when I'm here at church, I ask for prayers for my patients and for their families, because I think that just to ask for continued prayer for your nurses and for your doctors and for just for the whole situation of people who are in the hospital and for people who are ill. It's a difficult and stressful situation for people who are sick. And I know there are some people here who have been in the hospital and who are in that situation. It's a difficult and stressful situation. So just prayer support over that whole situation. It's difficult. It's a layered situation, I think. I don't think it's any different now, necessarily, than it's been in the past.
And do you see it getting any different?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes social media makes things feel closer than they were, like, you know. But I think it's got good points and bad points to it. It can unite people and make communities, you know, but it can also kind of add to stress sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think the good part about it is that, you know, we are a community together. So that is good, and we can unite one another. But I think just continuing to pray for one another is a good support. And I definitely appreciate, like, I went through a very stressful period when I needed to switch jobs and switch my work situation. I have had some work issues where, you know, there's strikes or whatever, mm-hmm. and I asked people for prayers, and I really, really appreciated that. But I think just continuing to support one another in prayer is really important, and trying to be understanding of what people are going through. I appreciate people being very forthcoming about, I appreciate how people have talked about issues with addiction and with substance abuse, with illness. I personally, I just appreciate how forthcoming people have been I know in years past there have been kind of shadows over that, and people have pretended, you know, nothing's going on. And I like the transparency that people have. I think that's really helpful because it lets other people know it doesn't have to be secret, and it helps people so we can all pray for one another and support each other.
I mean, I think it's so important that we have a deeper understanding in a sense of, and I think you're both giving us that. You know, what are the challenges that you face? What's it like to be a nurse, and what are the things that you really need support in prayer for?
Yeah.
Because most of us don't know. I mean,
right.
We may think we know,
right?
Because we
it's
have this
difficult.
Sort of imagination.
Yeah,
about
it's difficult. I mean, I know for myself, like in my situation, being in the obstetric world, like I've had people say to me before, you know, have you ever seen someone die? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, and like unfortunately, I've been in situations where I've seen, you know, premature infants die several times, and I've had to do CPR on babies, and I've seen babies pass away, and people have then looked at me shocked, and they have not wanted to hear that. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry you asked me, and I didn't really, you know, I guess you didn't want to have that conversation.
But that's the reality of your of a day in the life of your sort of nurse.
Horribly stressful, and like I'll go home and like sob, and you know, Andy and Margaret have seen me, you know, cry about it, and you know, you don't just, it doesn't just not affect you. Like, and I've helped people deliver stillborn babies, and like one of the first times that happened to me years ago when this was still Vista Del Mar, one of the older ladies who has since passed away took me aside and told me that she had delivered a stillborn baby, and the only person who cried with her about it was the nurse who helped her. Mm-hmm. And the day that I had that had happened to me, the nurse who was orienting me had chastised me for crying about it. Mm. And I felt, you know, terrible, obviously, but like I could not cry. Like, how do you not cry?
Yeah.
But it kind of struck my heart, and it made me realize, like, I have to be the person that I am. Like, I wasn't crying to be fake about it, and I'm like not crying now to be fake about it, mm-hmm. but like you know, I didn't like break down and cry and like make the family, you know, support me or whatever. But like when that happens, I just have to be the person that I am. And I remember her and I think about it because if somebody's going to cry, they're going to cry, you know, and it's a very stressful, like it chips away at your heart a little bit. And I think that, you know, I know that, you know, Paula's had to cry with some of her patients too. And it's a very stressful job. And you know, when you lose people or you have very difficult, sad things happen, as I've said to my kids before, you know, it's not like working at a Hallmark store.
Right.
Like, it's a different
and
level
I,
of stress.
And I think it's really important that as a church family, we understand the reality of those situations.
Right.
Because it's very easy for us to just sort of, okay, she's a nurse, she delivers babies. Mm-hmm. There is real pain and real that you walk with people through, and that if we know what's going on, we can in a sense lift you up, hold your hands up, whatever it is, however you want to describe it, as you walk through those things.
Yeah.
What about?
I've seen some changes in the recent years that kind of are reflective of community and San Francisco, and we've had more homeless students over the last few years, more serious mental health challenge students. We've had less staffing because at a college environment, you don't pay as well as in the community. It's been hard for us to retain nursing staff, nurse practitioner staff at City College. Those have been real challenges, and will continue to be challenges. So I covet your prayers because I think these students need the support to help finish their education of good health care and people who care about them. We've had students who were shot because of the communities they're living in, students who committed suicide, and those affect a whole classroom and their peers. And so there are challenges that you cry with people, like you said, and you walk alongside them the best you can, and you're there for them when they want to come back. That was the beauty of being at City College. Students were kind of captive there going to classes, and so I would always say, you know, please come back and talk to me again. I'm here. These are the days and hours I'm here. If you need me, I'm available. And many students did do that, and that was also an honor for me. I did write down kind of some things that really helped me with the stress, and I just would like to share that because I think that is one of the questions when you go in the other room. And as a Christian, it helped me to find one or two other people at work that were following Christ and to pray with them. I would often tell people that I was praying for them when they would, my staff or students, if they were open to that. And like you said, nobody usually says, don't pray for me. And the other thing is, I found in my life, to deal with any anxiety, I would get up and go into work a half hour early, kind of get my head around the day. Sometimes I would prayer walk my building, but I would be also, on the ride in, I would be praying for the people I knew I was going to work with, whether I liked them lately or not. I knew I was called to pray for each one of those people that day, and that put my heart in a better attitude as I was working, even if they were frustrating me. I also, I also would go to Wednesday night prayer, and I remember Linda Racine, Amy, and people I could bring my hump day of the mid-work week to prayer, and if I needed to be prayed over, they were right there. I remember Linda Racine one day just saying, I need to pull those fiery darts out of your back. And she was kind of pulling out those fiery darts, and those really sustained me. And then I was in the women's Thursday night group for many years, and I knew those people were praying for me, for my challenges that we would share. And I knew I could text my BFF, Vanita, at work and say, please pray for me. I'm having a challenging day. And those are the things that really got me through a lot of challenges. And there was much joy, like I said, working with students and patients, but there were also interpersonal challenges and staffing challenges. And I started, when I first started working, we're a nurse practitioner-run clinic. There'd be four nurse practitioners. We had a doctor by phone, but we were managing patients. And when I left last year, we're down to more like two a day. We just can't retain the staff well because of the pay is not as high. If it's not your heart and your calling, people come and work for a year, and then they go where the higher pay is. So that's a real challenge, if you can pray for that. And I would train people, and then they would leave after a year. And so that was really hard. But, you know, God has always provided, and I'm thankful for being a nurse.
I think we are extremely grateful to you both for being as open and as honest as you have. And I think all of us know a little bit more about what it's like to be a nurse. I know that what you've said was in, although unique to your own particular work situations, challenge each of us in our work situations. So it's now time for us to...
Can I say two more things? Sorry.
Can.
I just want to share two things. I had two people who really challenged me for my last 10 years. And when I had my retirement party, they gave me a card. And this is one of the most meaningful things. I took the card home and read it. And there were many different logic, the usual, I'll miss you, you did a great job, blah, 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 for many people. But one person who was a big challenge for me wrote, you mean so much to me and to the students. I will miss you so much. I know I've put you through hell, and I'm sorry. I do love you. And the second one, who was my other big challenge, said, I'm sorry for all the hardships I've caused you, and yet you still showed your patience and kindness towards me. I will miss you. And those meant the world to me because I felt I had reflected Christ, and maybe I did okay in spite of the hard times.
Yeah.
And then today, you know Linda Racine, she's just plugged in, right? She gave me this book, and it's been my daily devotional, and I'm on day 99, and I just wanted to share this. My devotional for today says, your path. There are countless paths in your life that you might have taken, but this is the one you're on today. It's the result of your circumstances, choices, and connections, all unfolding under the umbrella of God's loving care. Whether you're happy about it or you wish you'd done something differently, the truth is you are where you are, and the way you choose to experience today makes all the difference in the world. And I just thought, wow, is that kind of appropriate for us all?
That's great.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much indeed.